Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Oh, happy Friday. You know, every once in a while, every year when we get done with the big holiday break and you're like, oh gosh, I've been off for a few days. Maybe it's a long weekend. Maybe it's a situation where you got the whole 2 weeks off or whatever. And you go back to work and you're like, I guess this is just my life for another year. And then Friday comes, you're like, oh yeah, I get a weekend. Do you feel that?
Today's that day.
Today's a day.
You're describing today.
I am. I'm describing my sentiments, certainly.
Oh, is that how you feel? I thought you were talking projecting.
Maybe both. I'm assuming there's a little bit of both there. My daughter, she had the flu. What was it? Tuesday, she stayed home for the flu. Tried to go back to school today. That didn't work. So she's back at home.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been a long flu.
It's the flu.
You never know. Sometimes it's a 24-hour, you know?
The 24-hour flu, I think, is what people, when they have, like, norovirus, and they think that the stomach nastiness, because you had a little of a bug, so to speak. When you get the actual flu, it's usually a bit nastier than that. When was the last time you were, like, flu-ridden?
I don't know, because I inject myself with so many medicines and antibiotics that sometimes...
Yeah, but the more you do that, sometimes...
When something cracks through,
yeah.
Then it's like, uh-oh. I don't think I really got bad this year. At the beginning of last year, so about a year ago, I was in the hospital. I don't know that was the flu, though. I was sick, and I needed to...
And for you to be in the hospital is just to get you on IV with your cystic fibrosis, to get you going right away. So is there a circumstance involved that...
Onto IV antibiotics, yeah. So it's weird. It's a weird question to answer because the flu doesn't quite work the same for me.
No, not at all. Neither did COVID. I'll never forget while we're broadcasting during COVID and you're like, it's not a thing. It's not a big deal. And I'm like, it's a respiratory virus. You get a cold, you get a cough, you go to the hospital, like... You might want to look into this.
I think I was just saying that on behalf of everybody who was telling me in particular, hey, you need to watch this. I'm like, I know. Shut up.
I do think that we're getting a little bit more back to a normal. It's hard. This is a hard balance of before 2020, if you got sick, there was I'm sick and I shouldn't be around people because I'm going to get other people sick. If you're contributing to something, if you have roles and responsibilities towards something that if you're not there is going to cause other people to have to like make those up down the line, you try to get back in the game as fast as you can. And the question is, when you go back in the game, A, can I handle it physically? Am I well enough to do it? And B, am I going to get other people sick? We cared a lot less about other people before COVID.
Now it's all we think about is other people.
No, that's not really it, because it seems to me that there was a group of people that convinced you that you were going to...
Hell?
Yes. If you didn't do exactly what they said and follow the science, which we found out was... How would Jacob Fry put it?
The bologna sausage.
So... it's a hard thing to figure out. It's a difficult path. And Jensen has been feeling better. She woke up yesterday without a fever. She didn't have a fever all day yesterday, but she still didn't feel great. She's not on any antibiotics, but today they were like, she can go home. It's like, okay, we'll take her back.
Well, it's almost the weekend.
It almost is the weekend.
That's the good news, the big takeaway.
Did you watch the press conference, the Jacob Fry press conference earlier today?
No, I seen a couple clips, but I did not watch it.
The attitude that we have, that this man has about his presentation, I get the feeling that these Minnesota elected officials have felt pretty secure in their positions.
Oh, heck yeah.
Ilhan Omar, Governor Tim Walz, vice president material, obviously. Jacob Fry, the way that they present themselves doesn't look like they fear if whatever their presentation is, whatever the issue is, they take a hard stance on one side of it. If you're who's somebody who does a good job of like, I actually thought Tim Pawlenty, who the governor of Minneapolis, according to CNN, I actually feel like when he came on CNN, he was like talking for the people, all of them. I don't feel like that's what Jacob Fry is doing.
Oh my gosh.
He's so aggressive. He's so angry. And it's so off-putting to anybody who I feel like he knows who he serves. He knows who sent him there. That's what we're riding with. And that he's not afraid at all of showing all of his cards.
And he thinks that Minnesota, in particular, is going to be a blue state forever. And so he's pandering to hard, progressive voters, primarily in Minneapolis, because he's got the name, he's got the stage. You know, what does the future hold for him? He probably thinks it's higher office, and so he's making a play for that right
Jacob
now.
You think Jacob Fry does?
I think he thinks that in Minnesota he does.
I was going to say, statewide maybe. I think those people might suffer him a little bit more. I don't know. I don't think that the Minnesota thing is going to go the way the other Minnesota thing went. I don't think the 2020 is here in 2026, and I think a lot of people are super annoyed that we're having this conversation again, that it's materializing this way. He said today in his press conference, one of the clips that I listened to the press conference, and then there were a lot of clips that were playing on Fox after the fact. One of them was him saying, you know, like people want to rush to judgment because they want the state to be able to participate in the investigation. They don't want the feds to come in. The FBI is there. They're doing what the FBI does, which is investigating a situation that involved a federal officer. And they want the state to be able to participate in that. And he's like, you know, they're out there. They've already come to the conclusion of what happened here. And that's very obvious. And, you know, I'm like, if we could get in the time machine and go back to within the hour of the incident happening, when Jacob Fry went on in front of that press, in that press conference, and said, we already know what happened here. And he said that this woman was murdered in cold blood with a bunch of profanity sprinkled in. So when are we jumping to conclusions and when are we not jumping to conclusions?
Thank you.
We're doing, that is the first thing that we're doing when it's to our own political benefit. When we're actually looking into an investigation, he's worried that the feds can't handle it. Why? Because, honestly, he's probably not going to come up to the conclusion that Jacob Fry did without ever seeing evidence.
Yeah, and this is the same thing that Tim Walz was saying yesterday in his press conference. Hey, you can't just keep us out of this investigation. And his big argument was, unbelievably, we're too important to this investigation because we're so trustworthy. We're the trustworthy ones here. We're the people you can trust with these kind of things. We need to be involved.
I think people are feeling a nuance here that they haven't felt in the past. I think that people are understanding, this woman died and it sucks that this happened. I don't see anybody on the right cheering that she died. If she would have run over that ICE officer and gotten away, the story would be that ICE shouldn't have been there.
It's always going to be, according to them, that it's ICE's fault no matter what.
They have, up until this point, the difference maker in stories like this is the media. It's the people who permit them to perpetuate a handshake, agreed upon story where they can, you know, spew things. What is the phrase that the left, she was a legal observer or something like that. There was marching orders that had to have been sent out to the folks on the left, that and they were all referring to her not as a protester, but I think it was like a legal observer or something like that.
No, I did not hear that.
Yeah, and over and over and over again they repeat, because it's all based on words, and then when you run this out into a media that goes, oh, I'm so glad you guys got your story straight, let's roll, and then they start going with it, and then they all get, you know, the Claire McCaskill's on of the world, I don't know, a whole bunch of the other lefty loonies,
rando
by name
pundits.
I know a lot of faces. They all come on, they say the same thing, narrative built, and then what does the right always do? they fight the narrative. They skip the part where they're like, what if we just didn't pay attention to the narrative? And what if we just went straight to the story? And there are less people willing to peddle that narrative than there were before. And there are a whole lot less people willing to lap it up and soak it in and just go with it and be like, okay, how do we think about this? What do we think about this? Let's go. Here's Mayor Fry.
We are a safe city. ICE is making it less so. We are a city of unity, but ICE is trying to divide us and tear us apart. This notion of inflammatory comments, I mean, come on, guys. You know, I dropped an F-bomb. I dropped an F-bomb. They killed somebody. Which one of those is more inflammatory? I'm going with the killing somebody.
He's making jokes.
This is a time to follow the law. This is not a time to hide from the facts. This is a time to embrace them, making sure that we're pushing for transparency every step of the way.
More heated anti-ICE.
So they went on to talk about like what they're going to do now. And Tim Walz is like, hey, guys, let's do, how about unity, man? Let's have some unity today. Let's have a day of unity in Minnesota. Too late, bud. You've already stoked the fires. It has hit the fan. The moment that was occurring before this moment occurred, that is in full, unstoppable motion from President Trump, his administration, their willingness to expose every corner of fraud that exists in Minnesota. They won't stop digging until there's nowhere else to go because they're in Minnesota. The fraud that is being exposed in Minnesota, that's going to have a ripple effect because there are people who are involved in fraud over here who are also involved in fraud over there. So they're going to start tying all of these things together. They're going to understand how the game is played. And Minnesota is going to get turned inside out in an effort to find everything they can learn about how long, how many people have been involved, who knew and participated. Who knew and participated and financially benefited? Who knew and didn't participate but decided to take a willful blind eye to it so that it could continue? How does this affect the voting system? Minnesota is going to be ground zero for how we combat fraud across the country. And that's happening one way or the other. The one thing... And Renee Good's death, I know people are gonna say like, she was a crazy leftist protester. Yeah, but she's dead. There are three children who don't have their mother. Whether she was a lunatic on the left or a right wing crazy bat, whatever that they would call us, there are three kids who don't have their mother right now, and she is a victim, but she's a victim of a brainwashing left, the Mayor Jacob Frys of the world, the Tim Walzes of the world, the Barack Obamas of the world. I'm not even going to give Kamala Harris enough credit because I don't think she's capable of brainwashing people for various reasons. These people have created an alternate reality where folks like maybe Renee Good, but you know these people in your life, I know these people in my life. They are not living, working, eating, sleeping, enjoying life in the same reality that you and I are. The things that make them happy are beyond me. The things that make us happy are beyond them. We don't understand anything about each other. It is a small group of people on the left, but in a very effective group of people on the left, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. The Mayor Frys of the world are trying to find those people and mobilize them. And they've been successful at doing so. When we come back, I'm going to play a clip from Rachel Maddow. I know everybody listens to the show to hear Rachel Maddow. Sorry, you're going to want to hear this because it starts to make things make more sense. It starts to look at a situation like this that doesn't even feel grassroots at all. Don't you feel the elected officials going, come on, guys, let's go. This is our moment. We've got another one. We got one on the hook. Let's reel it in, guys. We need you to show up and show out. That type of motivation is incredibly dangerous, but it's not by happenstance. It's intentional. And in Rachel Maddow's words, I'll let her prove it for you when we come back. Don't go away.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, You get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Deed to the land, but it ain't my ground. This is God's country.
I know you highlight these peaceful protests on your show regularly. Do you think they do any good? Do you think that anything comes from them?
Yes.
You do?
Yes, I do. I mean, in political science terms, there's what's called the 3.5% rule, which is that if you look at authoritarian regimes of various kinds all over the world over the last, like, century, once you have 3.5% of a population protesting nonviolently against a dictator or an authoritarian, that is essentially an unstoppable force that they can't oppose, and that precludes them from consolidating dictatorial power.
3.5%.
3.5%. It's not that much larger a number than what we're already seeing in the streets against Trump.
There you have it.
Okay, so they know exactly how to break this down and to stop the elected president from doing legal things.
You know, I think when Rachel Maddow, to me, I'm trying to say this in a way that, like, when it gets clipped of me from me in the future, it doesn't completely say something different than I'm intending. The thing that I respect about her presentation is that she's very out there with what she's trying to say. She's not somebody who, she talks more in, like, this is what we need to do for our side than she does in just trying to tear down other people. Now, of course, she's trying to motivate the left side of the aisle through showcasing all of the terrible things that Donald Trump has ever done. Again, going back to what I was saying before, like, the separate realities that we've now maybe completed, it's been going on for a while. I'm curious how many people. You can text us if this is you. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. If you take the arc of, when did he come down the escalator? 15, probably. Late 15, 2015. So we are over 10 years into the Donald Trump political experience. How effective. Think about when it first started. The deceit that, yes, the deep state, Hillary Clinton and James Comey and Barack Obama and Joe Biden and all of the people who were involved, what would be, like, Brennan, and I'm trying to think of all the names at this point. They had a plan to make sure that Donald Trump would never, ever get through. And then, honestly, just an opinion, but by the grace of God, he was like, I'm going to sneak this one through. Donald Trump was able to sneak it through, shock the world, and then the oh crap moment. Did Hillary Clinton want to be the president? Yes, obviously. I think she still does. But I often think about watching other people who have lost the race, the presidency. Mitt Romney kind of comes to mind. John McCain is kind of the same way. They didn't just go on forever and ever and talk about, like, the loss of the pregnancy. Loss of the presidency was the whole schmo. That's like the whole kit and caboodle of their existence. Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. She was a senator. She was a first lady. She was the first lady to a governor. I mean, she's done a lot of things, and she was very much so an active and mobile first lady. She wasn't, just measuring drapes and throwing lamps or something. Didn't she throw a lamp?
Probably.
Yeah. No, I think she did. Google Hillary Clinton lamp and just tell me what you just
give that
and pick the most exciting URL name that pops up in the top results there.
I will. I'm looking forward to this because I love lamp.
Well, Hillary, I don't think does. I think she's got a problem with them. But, I mean, she has an incredible... I mean, I would honestly say there are few people in modern politics who have amounted a resume that is as impressive as Hillary Clinton's. But the whole existence of Hillary Clinton at this point in time is that she lost to Donald Trump. And I really think that a lot of that has to do with they thought it was a lock that she was going to be in. And they acted as though what they did to get her there wouldn't really ever be anybody else's business. And then it's slowly become our business, not fast enough and maybe not deep enough. But what these people have been capable of for such a long time is probably borderline, if not full-fledged, treasonous. Because they managed the people in a way that would allow them to, you know, learn to hear, to be exposed to what they wanted to, and then they would manufacture things to slant what is true by way of their party so that they could stay in power. They're pulling puppet strings the entire time. That's not from the inside. That's not a free country. And it's been exposed. So then you get to 2026 and Mayor Fry is up there and all he's doing is acting offended. His whole press conference could be summed up by, and I quote, "Ugh." Just disgust. And there are not Americans out here right now who are watching that. People are not glued to their television the way they were in the summer of love. And in fact, I tune in to the news stations right now and I'm just like, God, I hope they're not covering it.
But Jacob Fry of Minneapolis does have a cool Elvis curl that looks like he's just sort of been in deep work.
So did Ethan at the beginning of the show yesterday. Oh, he let me curl his hair.
Oh, well, really?
Yeah, I got my curling iron on here every day, and I was like, hey, can I curl your hair? He's like, sure.
How did I miss this?
There are things that happen out of your presence. I offered my services to you the day before.
Yes, but I don't have enough hair, but possibly if I let my beard grow, you could do it.
No, I was talking about the makeup.
Lamp? The Hillary Clinton lamp story, the origin of the story is that in the 90s, several news stories and books, like tell-all books, referenced an incident in which Hillary Clinton threw a lamp at her husband, Bill Clinton, during a heated argument, possibly during the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Now, Hillary Clinton has gone on to deny the incident, saying that, quote, if I'd thrown a lamp at somebody, I'd think you'd have known about it.
Everybody knows about
which
it.
Which we do.
Everybody knows about the lamp. Everyone knows about the lamp.
So there's the history that apparently, I mean, she's saying, I guess she didn't really say that she didn't do it in that quote. She said, if I'd thrown a lamp at somebody, I'd think you'd have known about it.
We know. Let's take a break. The YouTube poll for today. Should the United States acquire Greenland? Yes, by any means. Yes, but not by force or no. Have you been to Greenland? You've been to Iceland.
I've been to Iceland.
Which is green.
Yeah.
And Greenland, which is
ice.
Yeah. Seems like they flip-flop those somewhere along the lines.
On purpose?
Deception.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know. Are you like pumped for Greenland? Does it become a territory? What? How are we going to get it? How are you okay with it? Yes, you're okay with getting it by any means necessary, only if it's not by force or... No, we don't need Greenland. Go vote, YouTube poll. We'll be right back.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I will say this about Greenland. We need Greenland from a national security situation. It's so strategic. Right now, Greenland is covered with Russian and Chinese ships all over the place. We need Greenland from the standpoint of national security. And Denmark is not going to be able to do it, I can tell you. You know what Denmark did recently to boost up security in Greenland? They added one more dog sled. It's true.
Sir, what would
they thought that was a great move.
What would the justification be for a claim to Greenland?
Oh, I don't want to talk about Greenland now. I just say this. We need Greenland from the standpoint of national security. And the European Union needs us to have it. And
there's President Trump from Air Force One. Off air, we were kind of keying in on the beginning part of where he says it. And then he says it again. I think he's developing a chant.
I will say this about Greenland. We need Greenland.
We need Greenland. Greenland. We need Greenland. All right, let's go.
All right, I'm in. I'm a yes on the poll.
What color should the team be?
White. But kind of milky white because the ice.
Ew, don't say milky white.
I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it over and over. Milky white.
I would say color. I think I like the word milky less than most people like the word moist.
I think I'm fine with both of them. They both describe a great marshmallow fluff.
Do you buy marshmallow fluff?
No, but I would.
But I mean, like, you're a grown man. You can. That's one of those things that in the grocery store I walk by and I'm like, that exists. Marshmallow fluff sitting on the shelf, just waiting for me to pick it up and own it. So it sits on the shelf in my pantry for me to have whenever I want.
I know. I can't justify having it.
No, you shouldn't.
Every time I walk by it, I do the same thing. I'm like, that looks amazing.
Yeah. And it's what's stopping you from going, I shall have that.
Because then you have to go home and either make something from it, which I don't want to do.
Self-respect.
Or sit on the couch and eat marshmallow fluff out of the container.
No.
Yeah, that's your options.
Those aren't the only two options.
They are too, and that's why we need Greenland.
When you want a treat, when you want something, the way to do it, if you're trying to, I know how, Ryan, you're always talking about your figure. When you want to watch your figure, you got to buy it when you're going to have people over or when the family is going to consume the majority of it.
So, but like, how are they consuming it?
Marshmallow fluff?
Yeah.
I have heard of people, am I saying this right? Do you get like a sandwich with peanut butter and marshmallow fluff?
Oh my gosh, that's true.
Peanut butter and jelly. But like instead of jelly,
Dang it, now I got to eat that. Because that sounds amazing.
Does it? White bread?
Maybe honey.
I will have peanut butter and honey.
Peanut butter and honey is good, but you got to use a lot of honey. And a lot of jelly. I guess it doesn't matter either way.
You put jelly on it?
Well, jelly or honey. Not both.
Okay.
A jelly honey sandwich?
That would be crazy. What else could you put the marshmallow? What else do people put it on?
That's it. That's the only thing you can do with it. You can put it on a sandwich or eat it out of the bowl. Or you have to create some concoction with it.
What about like with graham crackers? It's like a s'more.
You just put it on a graham cracker?
I don't because I can't get it off the shelf. It just sits there and I'm like, I just turn around and look over my shoulder and I'm like, bye.
I guess that's the lazy man's s'more because you didn't have to have a fire.
Maybe it's the safe and thoughtful woman's s'more.
I don't think so.
Okay. I tried.
I think your best option is making a sandwich. I think you already found it.
Have you ever had that?
No, but it does sound
People
amazing.
Are saying it's a fluffer nutter, which could mean a lot of things if you weren't aware that it was a sandwich.
Oh, man. I've watched those movies. We need somebody to tell us what you can do with marshmallow fluff that we have not thought of. Because I'm a consumer ready to buy it. And so is Annie, apparently.
No.
We just don't know what to do with it. I think I can speak on behalf of Annie here.
It's a good thing that Christmas isn't next week.
That she is ready to buy marshmallow fluff in giant containers, as I am.
And I wonder if marshmallow fluff is the type of thing that never expires. Because it's maybe not RFK Jr. approved actual food.
Right. Yeah, Twinkies, cockroaches, and marshmallow fluff.
Your favorite food groups.
In the year 3000.
Greenland, do you want it?
Oh, yeah. I want it bad.
Okay.
I do, but
I'll let you flush this out for me. I don't have any follow-up questions yet.
Okay, think about it while I answer.
I'm going to try not to.
I do believe that there is a reason why they're not willing to say, no, we won't use force. It's because they want that to be on the table, even though they're not ever going to do it. They will never use
force. How crazy is Donald Trump? Well, we're not 100% sure.
Exactly.
So you're saying there's a chance?
You want Russia, you want China, and you want Denmark to all believe, you know what? I don't think Trump's going to do that. But in every interview, all of his surrogates are out there saying, you know what? Nothing's off the table. We don't want to do that. We have no desire to do that. But nothing's really off the table.
Why do you want it?
All the reasons that strategically that I've seen.
Which are?
minerals and access to ports. I mean, Brad and I were just talking about this off air, the fact that if you have Greenland, you have a lot of airspace and you have a lot of water space. And it's just a huge piece of land that nobody's using for anything.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of strategic defense around it. J.D. Vance, he really is a great, reliable voice for this administration because he talks to normal people. Donald Trump doesn't. When Donald Trump talks, he's talking to everybody all at once. When he says something in a spur of the moment press conference, he knows that China's going to listen to what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And he also knows that the folks in the Midwest are going to listen to what he says. So it's all out there. It's authentic, but it's intentional as well. When it comes to what the Trump administration is doing, J.D. Vance is great for, all right, guys, here's what we're thinking. This is why we're doing it. And then he says it in a way that makes me go, well, that makes perfect sense.
The president is going to make the ultimate determination here, but there's been a lot of belly aching from Europe, and Europe has failed to contend with the fundamental argument the president and the entire administration has made. Greenland is critical, not just to our national security, but to the world's national security. People don't realize this. The entire missile defense infrastructure is partially dependent on Greenland. If, God forbid, the Russians or the Chinese, not saying they're going to, but if, God forbid, in the future, somebody launched a nuclear missile into our continent, they launched a nuclear missile at Europe, Greenland is a critical part of that missile defense. So you ask yourself, have the Europeans, have the Danes done a proper job of securing Greenland and making sure it can continue to serve as an anchor for world security and missile defense? And the answer is obviously they haven't. They've underinvested in their security. They haven't done a good job of securing that area, that landmass. And what I hear them say is they always make an argument about the past. They'll say, well, we fought together in World War II, or we fought together in the war on terrorism. And we're grateful for that. We love having these allies. But just because you did something smart 25 years ago doesn't mean you can't do something dumb now. And the President of the United States is saying very clearly, you are not doing a good job with respect to Greenland. We're going to make sure we defend America's interests. And I think the president's willing to go as far as he has to make sure he does that.
So when I listened to J.D. Vance talking about this and saying that the president has determined that the Danes are not doing a good enough job with Greenland. There is a part of me that goes, why does he get to say that?
Yeah, but this is part of the information overload warfare that they're trying to put out there on behalf of Greenland. They're trying to make it look like this is an absolute priority for the administration, which maybe it is, but they're trying to just force people's hand on it, and maybe they don't end up with Greenland. Maybe all that happens is that Russia backs off a little bit, but that's still a win.
Here's more with Jesse Waters and J.D. Vance.
They're saying it's too cold for American soldiers to handle. You've been there.
Who was saying that? Jasmine Crockett?
The Danes. Probably Crockett, too.
I think Americans have done very well in some very cold places. I will say I wouldn't want to serve there, but luckily the vice president's residence is here in Washington, D.C.
So when you hear how Denmark is responding to this, it seems as though they're not like, ooh, what kind of deal could we make? Let's talk. Let's discuss. At least not on the public face of the topic. But there's nothing that I've seen publicly that makes it seem like they think it would be a really bad idea. It feels like they really want to continue to retain the control over it. But I have to think that if, you know, there's the discussion that Greenland could be taken by force. I don't think that that's actually something that is on the table.
I don't either.
I don't think that's a serious thing. I think that the meetings that they have surrounding taking Greenland by force are the ones that happen after Donald Trump's third term election team meets. I think those is a sequence of those. But to your point, and I agree with that, that why would you take something off the table, especially when it's absurd?
Yeah, and if Denmark is outright saying this will not happen, then that's one thing. But Greenland is still a nation, and I've seen before the numbers, if you run it, give every person in Greenland $1 million.
That's $100,000.
or $100,000, yeah, whatever it is. And it's a drop in the bucket compared to the fraud of Minnesota.
Well, and really what I see coming out of this likely, if it were to actually materialize into a deal, is that Denmark is probably going to come out real nice with the job. And it's like if you ever become affiliated with the parts of something that you really love, but you maybe don't have to have the maintenance and the upkeep. Talk to me. How could this work? How could tell me an offer, make me an offer I can't refuse. And Donald Trump does that. And he wins a lot of deals like that. He certainly doesn't win those deals by saying, here are all the things that we're not going to do. Should the United States acquire Greenland? Yes, by any means necessary. Yes, but not by force. Or no, it's not up for, the United States doesn't need Greenland. You can go vote. YouTube.com/@AnnieFry in the live chat poll. You can also text us at 314-241-9797 to give us some feedback. The B or not the B next.
Wiggins. Oh, Wiggins.
The B or not the B.
All right, here we go. A series of stories that are either from the Babylon Bee, which would make them satire and fake news, or they are real. I will tell you the headline. You will tell me whether it is real or fake. First one, Maduro now polling as most popular Democrat.
No. That sounds like the B.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go.
Your microphone's not on.
Yes, it is the B. The voters obviously love him, said one pollster. Honestly, it shouldn't surprise anyone. He has everything Democrats want in a politician. Suppression of freedom, unbridled corruption, and straight up socialism. Now that he's residing in the U.S., he's a shoe-in for the nomination. There's already a campaign office set up for him, and Maduro 2028 signs are being printed as we speak. That is the B.
Did you see, Han Solo? Did you see the B picture of him, Donald Trump at the rest of the desks, and Han Solo in the thing?
Yes.
But it was Maduro?
Yes.
What is the thing? What am I saying?
Carbonite. He's frozen in carbonite.
All right. There's the Star Wars interpretation was trying to communicate.
Yeah. You should have made him into the Resolute Desk.
I thought it was funny, and I'm not even a Star Wars person.
I thought it was funny, too, and I'm also not a Star Wars person. But I did just learn, because I like The Mandalorian a lot, mm-hmm, there's a Mandalorian movie coming out in May.
Mm-hmm. A Jon Favreau movie.
Can't wait for that.
This is something that we kind of discovered last year for Halloween. This is what you were for Halloween. You dressed up as a person from Tatooine.
Yes.
And I said, what would you call somebody? What would you call a person from Tatooine?
I think it was a tattoo wiener or tattoo weenie.
I said weenie. Corrected me. I was like, oh, sorry, I'm not a Star Wars person.
Yeah, that's part of the canon. Yeah. You can't screw that up. All right, next one. Democrats confused why Venezuelans cheering downfall of nice, warm collectivism.
B?
That's the B. What's wrong with these people? Asked liberal Stauncey Billups. Stauncey. Sorry for everybody who's listening named Stauncey. Watching the festivities, how can they be happy at a time like this with their dear sweet collectivism being ripped away? Mm. They must not understand how good they've had it, being free of rugged individualism. Those fools. Democrats have posed several theories, including perhaps that Venezuela had failed to try real collectivism.
I need to maybe just make it a poll. I need to know how much you folks want to hear about Mom Donnie. Here's what I think. For every time I hear, like, a top tier, A level media outlet refer to Mom Donnie but not be able to pronounce his name, I don't think I should have to. I don't think I should have to report on him at all.
Okay.
The older these people are, and honestly, it seems like the more conservative they are, they stumble over his name. They call him Mom Dommy a lot. They can't get his name right. It's like Mom. Your mother, whose name is Donnie. It's Mom Donnie.
It's like Chipotle.
Oh, gosh. Le. Chipotle.
Mom Donnie.
Mom Donnie. That's his name. Mom Donnie. But they all know. They're like, gosh, this is tough.
Mom
like,
Donnie.
So is his leadership style.
With extra queso.
But do people really want to know all of the socialist things that are happening in New York City? I don't know the answer to that. Do you?
I vote yes.
Maybe you'll have to have like Mom Donnie Monday.
Well, I don't want to do the whole show.
No, you just have to do a segment.
On what he's doing. Okay. All right.
I just want to know what he eats for lunch that. With his hands.
We'll look into that.
Ew.
Maybe it's Chipotle. Chipotle.
Chipotle. With his hands.
Democrats once again threaten. This one hits deep, guys.
It's the government knockoff.
Pay attention here.
Chipotle. Taxpayer subsidized Chipotle. It's called, actually called Chipotle.
Oh, no. That one's free, though.
Well, that's what I said.
Democrats once again threaten civil war to stop Republicans from taking away their slave labor.
Oh, man.
Real?
It's a real story. It's a B headline.
This is a B headline, but man, does it cut deep. Here we go. For the second time in American history, Democrats are threatening civil war if Republicans do not stop taking away their slave laborers. Democratic governor and former vice presidential nominee Tim Walz has warned that he is prepared to call up soldiers to fight the Republican administration if it does not stop removing his state's workers. This is real. I mean, that's what's so sad about this. "We're prepared to fight," announced Walz in a press conference. "We demand the immediate withdrawal of the union," federal troops who are taking away our workers.
I had a conversation. I don't think I said this on the air, so I'll be brief if you tell me that I have. But I was having a conversation with somebody who was attacking Trump's tariffs. And he's like, who's going to pay? All that tariff is going to come back on the consumer here in the United States. It's going to make everything cost so much more. And I go, well, the tariff is on the countries and it's on foreign products. I said, you know, we have a lot of investment coming with these tariff deals to say, invest in America. And if people are more inclined to buy American, if they do pass those tariffs on to their goods and services that are coming from overseas, then American made products and services now become more affordable compared to their super cheap foreign labor goods. And the person said to me, he's like, well, I know, but I don't want to spend $4,000 for my new iPhone. And I said, well, President Trump is working hand in hand with Tim Cook to try to bring a lot of that stuff back here. And I said, at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, like, do you think it's important to buy American, to support American laborers, to support American entrepreneurship and American businesses, and maybe sometimes have to pay a little bit more? Or do you support cheap child labor? And the person thought about it for a while, he's like, cheap labor. And I'm like, I just wanted you to say it out loud.
I mean, whoever you're talking to picked the exact wrong example of a thing that's going to be more expensive to because the iPhone is literally moved. They're onshoring that.
I said that. I told him, I'm like, I think that they're building American iPhones. And it was like late at night. So I was not going to go look up the details about it. But I was just thinking, like, the information that is, he was told the tariff talking point, and it was sufficient. And at the end, I'm like, child labor? He's like, oh, yeah. I was like, okay.
Oh, boy.
Well, there you go.
Love him. Don't love child labor.
Next one, Georgia County ends COVID state of emergency.
Excuse me?
Whoa.
Real.
Yeah, this is too bizarre to be real, or to be fake.
You're correct. This is too bizarre to be fake. It is real. A DeKalb County official announced Wednesday that it is ending its COVID-19 state of emergency and that all employees will need to return to the office with some hybrid work allowed. CEO Lorraine Cochran.
So I was thinking this was going to be some sort of like they had a flare up. But this is actually left over.
This is actually from COVID-19. They never stopped the state of emergency.
J.B. Pritzker been taking notes. That's terrifying.
Yeah. It's an executive order signed by the CEO of the county, finally, to end it. Unbelievable. Liberals emotional support dog gets its own emotional support dog.
I don't know. B.
Yeah, I'm going to guess B as
well. It's the B. You guys are 100% on this
one.
Jenny McCoy, a local bookstore clerk with deep anxiety over climate change, reportedly transferred so much of her own trauma over to her emotional support dog that her emotional support dog had to get an emotional support dog. Quote, Flash was suffering from emotional outbursts, probably also due to climate change, McCoy said. And the only way I knew how to help him was to make sure that the vet authorized an emotional support dog for my emotional support dog.
Yeah, these emotional support dogs need their own emotional support pets to deal with their handlers.
She also added, now I can legally have two dogs living in my apartment, which is great.
And there it is. Should the United States acquire Greenland? Yes, by any means. Yes, but not by force. Or no? Here's the question for you. And we want you to vote in the YouTube live chat poll. We also want you to text us 314-241-9797. What do you think about Greenland? Or marshmallow fluff? Because that seems to be the mix of text messages that we're getting right now. We'll be right back. Wait.